Now with a count, one ball and one strike, Ramirez takes a little bit of a walk behind the mound, shakes the rosin bag, and he's ready to go to work again. Here's the delivery, and it swung on, and a line shot to right center field, and hustling over to make a tremendous grab is Pedro Swan to retire the side. So the Clippers bid to take the lead in the top of the fourth, but Swan's running one-handed catch gets the Mud Hens and Jose Ramirez out of trouble. So at the end of 3.5 innings here from Skeldon Stadium, the score remains. The Toledo Mud Hens 1, the Columbus Clippers 1. A fan down the third base line made an outstanding grab of that ball as it fell back off of the roof. And he reached out and made the catch and drew a reaction from the crowd here. Spence, another flip over to first base, and that's beginning to draw the impatience of this fairly large crowd here at Skeldon Stadium today. Runners off with a pitch, swung on, grounded into right field. That's a base hit. Circling second and moving into third is Wood. He'll make the big turn, but hold up. And the base hit to right by Raul Casanova has got the Mud Hens in a threatening situation now with runners at the corners and two outs. So Casanova's single to right now has runners at the corners for Jason Maxwell. Maxwell swings and fouls one down the first base line, and despite Kurt Barrick's pursuit, it will just manage to reach the stands, out of play. No balls and two strikes on Maxwell, batting at 234. He does have some power. He spent some time with the Cubs last year with a September call-up. And there's a fake move over to third, but not fooling anybody because the third baseman for the Clippers, D'Angelo Jimenez, was not anywhere near the bag, not trying to hold Jason Wood anywhere close. There's a pitch in the dirt, and having to scramble over to block that one is Izzy Molina, just barely averting what could have been a wild pitch that could have given the Mud Hens the lead once again here in the last of the fourth. And there's the pitch, and another well-hit ball to center field, but Tony Tarasco got a good run on it and makes the catch to retire the side. So despite the Mud Hens making good contact and threatening, the Clippers are able to retire the side. No runs, two hits, two men left on base, and at the end of four full innings, our score remains Columbus 1, Toledo 1. There's a high pop down the first base line, circling right under it, Robert Fick, but he dropped the ball. The sun may have gotten in his eyes. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He was camped under that. It looked like the most routine of plays, but he just could not haul it in. He didn't show any real indication of being bothered, that he had a difficult time finding that ball, but just trickled right through his clutches and fell harmlessly to the turf. So the count remains at a ball and two strikes. There's the pitch chopped into the dirt, a nice charge, and Jason Wood firing it across to Fick to retire Jimenez. And any embarrassment that might have been felt by Fick for dropping that pop foul has now been forgotten. Bailed out on a very nice play by Jason Wood. There's the first pitch to the next batter, and Alfonso Soriano lines a base hit into right field. And Soriano, one of the top prospects, if not the top prospect in all of minor league baseball, shows why that time with a classic stroke. That results in an opposite field hit. So with one out, Soriano on first, and that will send Kurt Barrick to the plate. Barrick, a left-handed hitting first baseman, is having a fine year this year with 23 home runs, 94 RBIs, and a .281 batting average. He's a veteran of the Yankee organization, but simply because of the wealth of talent that the Yankees possess, he's had a hard time breaking in at the major league level. Ramirez with a good move over to first base for the left-hander, trying to keep Soriano close as he throws it over to Robert Fick. Not a real concerted effort for a pickoff, but just trying to keep Soriano close. There he goes. Pitch low in the dirt, the throw over to second, and Soriano beats it for a stolen base. A very good throw by Casanova. And many in the crowd questioned that call, but it did appear that Soriano was able to slide under the tag of Luis Garcia. So the Clippers now with a runner in scoring position here in the top half of the fifth in this 1-1 tie. And Kurt Barrick trying to keep the Clippers rally going. Ramirez in his first start for the Mud Hens from the stretch, the delivery, and that one is fouled out of play. And the count now at a ball and a strike. They're playing Barrick to pull. In fact, Gabe Alvarez over in right field is shading all the way over near the line and deep. Just a couple of strides from the warning track. They certainly respect Barrick's power. Ramirez with a pitch. That one's low in the dirt, blocked neatly by Casanova. And the count now, two balls and one strike. Barrick singled in the first inning. Got as far as second on a pass ball before dying there. And then he walked in the third inning. Ramirez checks the runner, delivers. There's a well-hit ball pulled to right center, but drifting over is Pedro Swan. That ball was held up a bit by the wind, it appeared, and Swan gloves it and keeps Soriano from taking third with a quick throw back to the infield. And it appeared that that ball took off the bat with a little bit more force than eventually resulted. Swan took a couple of steps back before realizing that that ball was being held up by a pretty heavy wind that is blowing in directly to the plate. And then he moved in several steps before making the catch. And now that will bring the center fielder Tarasco up. We mentioned he doubled and scored back in the second for the only Columbus run. Then he struck out in the third. And is, of course, perhaps best well known for being the outfielder on the controversial play in the playoffs a couple of years ago with the Orioles and Yankees, where he was, at least if you listen to the Orioles side of things, hovering under the ball ready to make a catch at the warning track, and a young fan, Jeffrey Mayer, reached out and took it right out of his glove, and it was called a home run and was one of the key catalysts in helping the Yankees eliminate the Orioles from the playoffs that year. There's the pitch. Tarasco swings and slashes one down the first baseline. It was deflected, knocked down nicely by Fick, and then on to the covering Garcia to retire the side. So very dangerous, but the Clippers are retired. No runs, one hit, no errors, one man left on base. And at the end of four and a half innings, the score remains 1-1. In the last half of the fifth inning of this 1-1 tie and bit of a pitcher's duel between two starters in their very first outings for their respective teams. Joe Siddle leading off here in the last of the fifth. A designated hitter for Toledo. He loops a long foul fly down the left field line, and Chris Ashby cannot get over for it. And so the count goes now to 0-1. Siddle drew a walk back in the third. He'll be followed to the plate by shortstop Luis Garcia. And then back to the top of the order for Robert Fick, whose leadoff home run accounted for the lone Toledo run in this game. Spence delivers. There's a pitch swung on and lined to third base. And once again, it is D'Angelo Jimenez making a fine play. He made two great stabs on ground balls of the hot corner in the last of the fourth. This time he moves to his left to one hand, the sharp line drive, spearing it out of the air for out number one. So it has been an outstanding game defensively for Jimenez, who is considered one of the top prospects in the Yankee organization, and he is showing the reason for that with his play in the field in this game. Molina not having a banner year at the plate, but was nonetheless selected to the IL All-Star team. That pitch is low for now a 3-1 count. So Pete Roach delivers with a fastball. Good velocity on that one, swung on and fouled back to the screen. And now the string has been run out to 3-2. Ramirez looking pretty good for the Mud Hens, although he did have a bit of trouble with control, issuing four walks in the five innings. There's a pitch swung on to the opposite field in right, fading back, way back to the warning track is Gabe Alvarez, and he hauls it in for out number two. So Molina got a good hold of that ball, and with the wind blowing toward the right field line, the ball sliced away from Alvarez, so he had to go a long way for it. He was able to catch up to it about a step from the warning track in deep right field. But he was able to make the catch, and now it will send Chris Ashby to the plate with two out and nobody on. Roach with a pitch, he caught the outside corner of the plate for strike one. If you look at the line score in this game, it appears to be somewhat of a pitcher's duel. Both teams with a run and three hits, one error for Toledo, none for Columbus. As the next offering is fouled high out of play. And that will even the count at 1-1. But actually, both teams have been hitting the ball with authority at times, but some sparkling defensive plays on both sides have kept the score down. There's another well-hit ball, that one to right center, but once again, Gabe Alvarez coming over, and he's got a beat on it, and he puts it away to retire the side. 1-2-3 go the Clippers in the top half of the sixth inning. And at the end of 5.5, the score remains Columbus 1, Toledo 1. And Spence seems to be picking up some strength here as the ball game goes on. He had a bit of a rocky inning back in the fourth when two fine defensive plays by D'Angelo Jimenez got the first two outs, though it just as likely could have been two hits. And then the next two batters singled. There were runners on first and third with two out. And then the final batter in the inning was retired on a long, hard fly to center field. Since then, Spence has improved very dramatically. There's a ball, hit the third base, and again, charging a fine backhand stop and throw across by Jimenez, who has just been outstanding defensively for Columbus in this game. As his throw across to Barrick retired Alvarez by a good two steps. But it was a fine short hop, backhanded. That very tricky to handle grounder has resulted in out number two, and that's about the fourth stellar defensive play turned in by Jimenez in this game. Now it's Billy Ashley at the plate, and the crowd chanting for a hit, and he might oblige them with a long drive back to right field, and it's off the wall as Coolbaugh couldn't get back for it, and charging around first and pulling up at second with a stand-up double, Billy Ashley for the most resounding Mud Hen hit since that leadoff homer in the first inning. Ashley, a 280 hitter, you may recall formerly was a very highly touted prospect in the Dodger organization. Signed over to Toledo from St. Paul of the Northern League. Another interesting member of the Columbus cast not in the lineup is former Heisman Trophy winner, 1955, Hopalong Cassidy, played for the Ohio State Buckeyes, has now returned to Columbus. There's a pitch outside, but swung on and missed for strike three as Wood went fishing. And Ashley will end up at second base as the Mud Hens are unable to bring him home. So at the end of six innings, no runs, one hit, no error, one man left on base for the Mud Hens in their half of the six. And at the end of six complete, the score, Columbus Toledo tied at one. Nice stop there by Casanova. He's had to make a few of those types of plays for the Hens in this game. count at 3-1. There's the pitch swung on, and a looping fly ball lazily in center field, and Swan came on and then backed off at the last moment, and the ball dropped, and Stankiewicz charges into second base for a double. And now we, I think, have to certainly conclude that that very bright sunlight is causing some problems for the fielders. We have that fly ball that was hit in foul territory down the first base line that looked like an easy out that Robert Fick simply dropped. And we speculated that it might have had to do with the sun in his eyes, but we couldn't really tell based on his reaction. But that time, there's no doubt, Swan was moving in and just lost sight of the ball at the last second. He pulled back just to try to keep it from getting past him, which might have resulted in even more damage than the stand-up double that ensued. There's the pitch fouled out of play by Jimenez, who has been a star defensively in this game with several outstanding plays at the hot corner. Less successful at the plate, 0-3, but he himself was robbed on a hot grounder to third on his last trip. A 1-2 pitch on the way, and that one is in the dirt, and having to do a quick dance step to get out of the way of that ball was Jimenez. And again, Casanova, who has been kept hopping behind the plate, had to reach out and stab that ball to keep it from getting back to the screen and allowing Stankiewicz to move on to third. And with that, Casanova decides that it might be time for a word to the wise to try to settle down his pitcher, Pete Roach, who might be just a bit disoriented by that seeming routine fly ball that turned into a double to lead off the inning. Nobody out. Stankiewicz on second. 1-1 tie here in the seventh. The pitch, ground ball right up the middle, and getting over to stop it, Garcia, the throw to first, but not in time, as Jimenez, with burning speed, got down to the line, just beating the relay, and that'll go as an infield hit, and now runners on first and third. So D'Angelo Jimenez has really been showing his wares in this ball game, tremendous defensive skills. He's made at least three outstanding plays on hard ground balls down the third base line, and then he moved to his left to stab a line drive between short and third a little bit later on in the game. No fewer than four fine defensive efforts that he has turned in this afternoon, and now his first base hit of the game as a result of blinding speed. And now this brings up Alfonso Soriano, the great Yankee prospect. There's the pitch swung on, long fly into right field, caught by Alvarez, but tagging and scoring is Stankiewicz to put the Clippers back on top in the ball game. Playoff picture still not entirely settled in the International League, but the Clippers clinched the Western Division championship well nigh a month ago, and have just been trying to stay sharp for another attempt at the Governor's Cup. You're expecting, however, that Alfonso Soriano may well get a September call-up for the Yankees. There's a ground ball to first, and that one's handled by Fick. Over to second, Garcia, the relay back, and a very neatly orchestrated double play as Fick to Garcia, and then his relay back to Maxwell erases Jimenez and Barrick. So despite the Clippers benefiting from a very fortunate for them routine fly turning into a double due to the sun getting in Swan's eyes, Toledo prevents it from getting any worse by turning in a very, very slick double play, going from first to second and back to first again to take out the side. One run, two hits, nobody left on base, no errors, and at the end of 6.5, the score, Columbus 2, Toledo 1. And it just appears that Spence has had the Mud Hen hitters off balance. Often they're not getting a full cut at the ball and ending up with pop fouls or grounders beaten into the dirt. Many check swings. There's the pitch that time outside. So now the count at 1-2. That last opportunity, a good one for Siddle, as he worked it to three balls, and he knew that Spence had to come in. Couldn't continue teasing with pitches on the corners as he has done so effectively throughout the game. Runner is off for second. The pitch swung on, laced into center field. The left fielder cutting over to take it, Chris Ashby, but tagging up and scoring to tie the game is Raul Casanova, and a sacrifice fly by Luis Garcia brings home the tying run. Fick coming off an injury rehab, originally very highly regarded as a catching prospect, but playing first base in this game as the pitch is off the outside corner, 2-1 now. And Fick starred in college ball for Cal State Fullerton and even had a trip to the College World Series during his collegiate career. Two balls, one strike. Pitch once again gets the corner on another roundhouse curve, and that evens the count at 2-2. Vic batting at 278. And then a bit of a hush falling over the crowd here after they had been whooping it up when the Mudhens tied the ball game. Runner is off. Maxwell taken off for second. The pitch in the dirt for a ball, and he slides in head first with a stolen base. And that gets them off their hands again, as the count now once again is full at 3-2, and a runner in scoring position. Maxwell waiting for the opportune time to attempt the steal, and he got an excellent jump there, as perhaps the Mudhens noticed that Spence was going with a lot of the off-speed stuff, figuring that Maxwell might be able to take advantage of that to get a good jump. The 3-2 pitch that time swung on and looped for a base hit in the right field. Maxwell rounding third, and he'll come home with the lead run as the Mudhens take a 3-2 lead. So Robert Fick, despite one rather embarrassing faux pas earlier in the game when he dropped an easy foul pop, has certainly done a lot to make up for that with a home run, an RBI single that stands to be the winner if the score holds up, plus a couple of good defensive plays at first base, most notably an inning ago when he started at round the horn double play. Spence takes a look back at second and doing a bit of juking at second, faking the steal, and the ball hit up the middle, knocked down by the second baseman, and then the throw to the plate, and safe coming all the way around to score on the play as Robert Fick. A nice play at second by Stankiewicz. He knocked the ball down. He made a desperate throw to the plate, but going all the way in from second on an infield hit, Robert Fick to make it a 4-2 Mudhen lead. There's a pitch swung on and drilled back to left field. That one is deep, and that is over the fence for a home run. And the Mudhens now lead 7-2 as Jason Maxwell muscles it over the left field stands. And the Hens have broken this one open with a 5-run lead at 7-2 here in the last half of the eighth inning.